over the last few months, we've been looking at the book of Acts. Last year, we looked a lot at the biographies of Jesus in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then this year, we're looking a little more at the continuing story. After we've seen that Jesus has really lived and really died and really rose again, and then he tells his disciples, his students, okay, now go out and spread this message. We're looking at some of the things that they were doing. Looked at some of the ways that the church was growing, the ways that this group of people that started with Jesus and then his followers became so much larger now what it is today, a faith that is practiced around the world. But it's more than just having a faith or a religion. It's about this real relationship with God and about us being changed more and more into the image of Jesus, being changed into having that kind of a character like he had. So as we've looked at some of the factors for how this church grows, of how people grow, the main one to make sure that we always have in the front is that every other factor starts with Jesus and has Jesus a part of it. We're not trying to just grow a church with lights and flashiness and things. It's all about the truth of Jesus, that he did really live. He really died. He really rose from the dead. And because of that, he lived this unique life. He had this unique death, this unique resurrection that then has power to change our lives even up to today. But the factor that we'll look at today is church growth and delegation, of how that helped and how that continues to help the church to grow when everyone has a job to fill and we're working together. In the last few weeks, just to catch you up to speed, we saw first miracles, that the church growth grows through miracles as they confirm the message of this truth about Jesus, as we see that God works in his power. Then the week afterward, we saw about the church growing through persecution, because we see that that spreads the message as God works through his power in our weakness. And then today we get to see that the church grows through delegation, because delegation, it builds the people. And that's God working in our unity and us working together. So to look at the spot that's our main text today, Acts chapter 6, verse 1, we're told that the believers, they're multiplying rapidly in the city of Jerusalem. More and more people are becoming Christians. And in the middle of that, as this church is growing, hard feelings start to develop, because there were a group of people that had become Christians, but they were Greek speakers. And then there were the people that lived in Jerusalem most of the time, and they were Hebrew speakers. And so some of the Greek speakers felt like their widows weren't being taken care of. As the church is growing and they're trying to meet the needs of everybody, that was one of the core things they're doing, is making sure that they're making sure people are fed and they're trying to take care of them. But then the problem comes in that some people felt like, you're not being fair. We're not getting as much taken care of. And so as they're telling this to people and as they're hearing these murmurings, the leaders of the church at the time, these 12 apostles, say, okay, let's have a meeting. We need to get to the core of this and figure this out before we break ourselves up. A danger as the church grows is that people can start having hard feelings. And so how can we make sure that we don't offend people unnecessarily? Or how can we make sure that we don't mistreat people or treat people unfairly and that cause divisions in the church? And so here's what they decide. The disciples say, we should spend our time preaching and not administering a food program. So they said, so look among yourselves and find some people. Select 7 men who are wise and full of the Holy Spirit, who are well thought of by everyone, that they're respected, and we'll put them in charge of it. And then we, as the leaders, can put our effort into prayer and into teaching the word. They said, okay, we can't do everything. Even though there were 12 men, they said, we can't do everything. And if you're around Damascus Road long enough, you'll hear me say it often enough, I can't do everything in this church, and wasn't created to, wasn't intended to. Church is not about, okay, everyone comes and watches a pastor or a worship team do the work. Instead, it's about being a family. And it's about us working together and caring for one another. So it said that this sounded reasonable to everyone. They went, oh, wow, that's kind of a good idea. How about we pick some people who are respectable, people who are full of wisdom, full of God's Spirit, that we know that we can trust? Great idea. So they chose seven people: Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas of Antioch. And they presented these seven men to the apostles, and the apostles went for it. The interesting thing that we may not always catch just to start with is that these seven names were all Greek-speaking names. So we saw before the Greek speakers are saying, I think our people are getting mistreated. So they say, well, let's put seven men in charge of it. And all of them are men who have Greek names, which makes us assume that he's saying, okay, how about you guys then make sure that you're taking care of your people, and so it doesn't look like it's just coming from our culture or our people. That it's a mixture of cultures. And that's something that I hope that the more you're around Damascus Road, that you get to see that as well. That in our church, it's not based upon just one culture. I'm an American. And I'll admit, Americans don't know everything, and Americans can't do everything in the world. Nor can Europeans, or nor would Africans, or nor would Asians. The beautiful thing of our church is we have people from so many cultures, and as we work together, we see God working, and we see people being taken care of, and we learn and grow with each other, and it becomes a beautiful thing. And so here comes the outcome of it. The word of God gains more and more ground. The number of disciples increased vastly in Jerusalem. So we saw that they were growing and growing and growing. But then as they got to a nice mixture of people and leadership, and as more people are getting to use their gifts, it grows rapidly, vastly. And even more Jewish people, Jewish priests, are being converted. So they're trying to help take care of Greek speakers. But in doing that, it's even showing the Jewish people, this is real and this is true and this is good. And that's what I would love to see happen more and more in our church. That as individuals, if you're here for the first time, something I'd just like to tell you. Our church is 5 years old. We haven't had enough time to have families and generations of families here that say, oh, this is my church and this is my seat and this is my stool and we're the ones in charge. And instead, we all are part of it. We're all throwing our help in together. We're all taking care of one another. And that is a good thing. And I hope that you will be the kind of person that doesn't just come and sit in a church and look at the front and say, you guys do everything. But you'll say, how can I be involved in someone's life? How can I invest in someone else? I can tell you stories from the last 5 years of people who were here for just 3 months studying. But in that time, they touched someone's life for eternity. Don't underestimate the impact you can have. Even if you're only in Maastricht for 6 months, for 1 year, let God use you and be involved in other people's lives. And that was something that we see. Sometimes we feel kind of bad for these seven guys, like, oh, well, they're just put in charge, so they have to make sure that the food is handed out and get that done. But we saw that even from these seven speakers, as you go throughout the book of Acts, Stephen, the man who was mentioned first, he ends up being someone who speaks boldly. We're told that he was full of faith and power, that he did great wonders and miracles. It wasn't because, oh, well, you don't have anything else you can do, so let's put you in charge of waiting on tables. No. Even those people could have good work to do, and God used them in multiple ways. The same with Philip, who is the second man on the list, that he goes around and he's speaking God's message boldly, and people are believing and being baptized, and he's doing miracles as well. So we see that God works among various people, and that he gives his gift and he makes his working through others, not just me. For those that were here over the summer, what we did as a church, instead of me preaching all the time, we would split up and have several people teach each week. And I was excited about because of this, because we see various people using their gifts. A last important verse for this that we see is Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12, where an apostle named Paul, he wrote this. He, being Jesus, personally gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. But the reason for that was to prepare God's people to serve and to build up the body of Christ. As we do this work together, as we split work and help to delegate. That way it's not on the shoulders of just one person or two people or five people or 10 people. That helps to serve and to build up the body of Christ. And that is our hope. So hopefully, whether you're here just for today and then we won't see you again, or if you're going to be someone who comes to Damascus Road often, wherever you are, find other Christians that you can be involved with. Find other people that you can make an impact in their life. Because we need each other. We as the church, we need each other. Amen?